Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Receiver debates. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia with me today. Back fresh from the islands is Aruba Erickson himself, Andrew Erickson, the King of Bros, D-Bro, Derek Brown, also here today. And this show is all about the wide receivers and the tight ends, the early ranks, and the early dissenting opinions. That's right, because not everybody is consensus. Not everybody agrees. Now, if you want the consensus, you, of course, can go to fantasypros.com and look at the ranks we have up there in standard and half and full PPR. We've got it all for you. The early rankings for you crazy early drafters and your dynasty freaks out there, too. All that's there as always. But this is about dissenting opinions. The two boys here have some different opinions on some wide receivers and tight ends. And if you want to check out some other dissenting opinions, head over to fantasypros.com/compare and you can pick your favorite experts like me and other experts as well and compare their rankings and see where the variants lie. And just like Loki, some of those variants might cause some problems. But again, you can only check those out at fantasypros.com/compare. Also, don't forget, we've got a full NFL draft coverage coming for you next week. So make sure you subscribe to youtube.com/fantasypros. We will be live during the NFL draft, just like we had the last few years, breaking all things down from a fantasy perspective. It's going to be an action spectacular. So make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Click that little bell for notifications. Oh, and when you do, you can win some free stuff from Pristine Auction if you head over to fantasypros.com/contest because we are giving away an autographed Lamar Jackson jersey. That's right, for you, a Lamar Jackson jersey could be yours at fantasypros.com/contest as long as you subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fantasy Pros. So go check that out today. Now, gentlemen, I know we came back from the Easter holiday. I know you've been on actual holiday for what seems like weeks, Andrew Erickson. So have you gotten all the sand out of your shoes and your shorts? And are you ready to talk football again, Erickson?
Yeah, no, it's been a very eventful 2 weeks. This just, you know, being away from the podcast, I miss you guys. But, you know, a lot of big life changes, got engaged, got COVID, and now I'm back. So I'm ready to roll. You know, the draft's coming up, so I'm ready to rock. You know, I got a lot of time by myself to think about my rankings when I was quarantining in my hotel room for 5 days. And yeah, Joe, like I couldn't leave my room. Like you got to understand that. Yeah, sure. The beach is right there, but I just watch people. It's like that SpongeBob meme where you're Squidward, you're looking out of the window and you see SpongeBob and Patrick. They're just laughing and having fun outside. And that was me just looking out the window being like, yep, I can't move. I can't go anywhere. Couldn't go for a walk. Couldn't do anything. I had to do like workouts on in the room just to like move around or else I was just going to be sitting for, you know, hours on hours just looking at fantasy stuff, which again, that's the best part, you know, about having this job is, you know, I was able to work, so I was able to keep myself sane enough. So I'm ready, but I'm happy to be back.
Well, thanks for that image. Now I won't be able to shake that the entire show and I can't wait for the Twitter comments and things like that and the memes to pop up of Andrew Erickson dressed like SpongeBob, because that's I told you, you know, get engaged, everything goes downhill. See, you didn't believe me. There you go. I told you. Derek Brown, I know you coming off the holiday. Hopefully the Easter Bunny did indeed visit your house. All the kiddos doing well. Everybody find their Easter eggs.
Oh, man. Yeah. Tons of candy. I think we're all like getting over sugar rushes, and my kids ate one metric ton of Peeps, which I think are gross, but they love them. So yeah, it was a good time, man. I can't handle Peeps. I mean, we get it for the kids and I'm just like, not touching that. No,
so bad. So bad. See, the egg hunt in my house is like an action spectacular. A couple years ago, I started doing this thing where you find puzzle pieces in the eggs and you got to put the puzzle together and you flip it over and then it's got another clue to something else. And then it started being themes. We did a Friends theme last year. This year, it was How I Met Your Mother thing. So every year I got to up myself. It's becoming like Survivor. I have to wear a blue shirt like Jeff Probst. It's like a whole thing now in my house. And who knows? Maybe someone will get eliminated from the family. You never know. Someone off the island might snuff a torch. You never know. But today, we're going to talk about, again, dissenting opinions. So everybody's got different opinions about Peeps, just like Derek Brown and the rest of his family. Obviously, Derek Brown has them way down in the 50s in terms of candy. His kids are at like the 1-1 pick possibly with them. But let's start here with a guy that Andrew Erickson likes more, not a lot more, just 5 spots more than Derek Brown. And it's Jalen Waddle, who is a lot of buzz around Waddle right now, Erickson, because of the Tyreek Hill move. Some people are completely off of him. Some people like me look at it as a great opportunity to get a discount on Waddle, because Tua is not exactly the deep ball thrower anyway. So what are your thoughts here on Waddle? Because you got him at 15 and Derek's got him at 20. That's 5 spot difference. And that's significant when we're talking about these guys who are in that fringe of wide receiver one.
Well, the thing with Waddle is I do think that he is a really talented wide receiver. Liked him a lot coming out of Alabama. I thought that the Henry Ruggs comps didn't make a lot of sense because Waddle actually produced at the college level when he was on the field, and Ruggs really didn't do that much. So I never understood that comp, and I liked Waddle a lot. Even, you know, entering a Dolphins offense, a lot of question marks last year. We weren't sure how the targets would shake out with Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, and ultimately it was Waddle that ended up being the target leader on that roster last year. Didn't really deal with a lot of target competition. Now, when you add in Tyreek Hill, like, that's the big question mark. It's like, oh, well, will he lead the team in targets? You have question marks. But the thing is, I have more question marks about Tyreek Hill. Like, we see this all the time with teams that go out and trade for these big blockbuster guys. They sign them, and then, you know, who's to say they're going to use him the right way? At least I've seen Tua and Waddle, not only at the NFL level, but at the college level as well, like, have a connection. Like, I've seen these two guys operate together. And, you know, we've seen the memes on Twitter about Tua, you know, and, oh, what happens when he misses Tyreek Hill deep? Like, funny things like that. Like, there's no guarantee that Tyreek Hill's just going to fit into this offense, you know, seamlessly. Whereas Waddle, we've already seen him operate with Tua for multiple seasons and be a highly regarded wide receiver. So for me, when I'm looking at Waddle versus Hill, I'm taking Waddle every single day of the week because I know he's going to go later because Tyreek Hill has the name cachet, but that's because Hill's also been attached to the best quarterback on the planet in Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's no longer the case now. So when I look at who's a better value between Waddle and Tyreek Hill, I'm going to take Waddle, who's also coming off a season where he broke the rookie record for most receptions by a rookie wide receiver. Now, we see guys take significant leaps in their second year after a big rookie season, so I'm not sure why I'm fading Waddle potentially. Yeah, he has more target competition, but we could see the offense be more efficient. I don't have him as a top 12 wide receiver where a lot of people were ranking him before the Tyreek Hill trade. I think that he's in the middle wide receiver 2 range, and there's room for upside. What if Tyreek Hill gets hurt? Okay, boom. Like, we know Waddle's going to see that massive target share because behind Hill, okay, you have Gesicki and a couple other guys, but not worried about Cedric Wilson. And I don't know. I think that Waddle is just someone that is an ascending talent. It would not surprise me at all if Waddle just straight out beats Tyreek Hill. Like, Tyreek Hill, how do we know he's not starting to end up on the back end of his career? You know, as an older, speedy wide receiver, dealt with some injuries last year, and the Chiefs obviously wanted to try to keep him, but came to the decision, well, you know what? We can probably get 75% of his production from Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So that's what we're going to do. So I don't know. I mean, when Mike McDaniel first got to Miami, who was he talking about? Jalen Waddle. Was it Mike McDaniel that decided to trade for Tyreek Hill? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it was more management. Be like, no, you need to get Tyreek Hill now and you need to figure it out. Whereas he was originally thinking, no, I really want to build my offense around Waddle. And now, okay, now you add Tyreek Hill to the mix. Okay, we'll see if it works out. But that's why I prefer Waddle as a value. And I think that he's still, you know, a top 20 guy for sure.
Well, you don't have to convince me because I've got him even higher than you in my rankings. I've still got him at 12 because I am not going off the Jaylen Waddle train, and everyone knows I was on it last year. Derek Brown, I want to talk about a guy on your list for a second, and it's Michael Thomas, who you've got a 7-rank difference, so bigger than the last one we just talked about. Some of these are going to be huge, which I cannot wait to get to some of the bigger ones that are the double digits because the boys are already salty about them. But you've got Michael Thomas at 13. Andrew Erickson has him at 20, so a 7 difference on Michael Thomas. Now, we haven't seen Michael Thomas in quite some time, so why the faith to jump back in with both feet the way you have him right now, which is basically as a fringe wide receiver one?
It's all targets. It's all volume. I mean, what outside of health is going to keep Michael Thomas from gobbling up one metric ton of targets in New Orleans? I mean, he's competing right now with what, Adam Troutman, Marquez Callaway, maybe they add a wide receiver in the draft, but I mean, still, that's up in the air. So if that happens, then yes, well, I bump Michael Thomas down, but as of right now, he's in this tier of wide receivers where I've got him ranked as an upper echelon wide receiver too, that guys that are in great scenarios just to gobble up volume. And if the touchdowns happen to go along with this volume, and we've seen Michael Thomas, it's not like the highs for Michael Thomas. And then I think we're at a point of the offseason. We haven't heard a lot of reports or pretty much any about what his health status is. So I'm taking more of a glass half full approach and saying, okay, well, I'm going to project him healthy right now, because we don't have any other information to say that he's not. And if that's the case, when healthy, we've seen Michael Thomas be one of the best wide receivers, if not the best in the entire league. So even a watered-down version of that, considering gobble-up targets, considering who he's going against on a weekly basis, 4 targets in New Orleans passing attack right now as it's currently constructed.
All right. So is it just the same for you, Andrew, also when it comes to Thomas, that you think, well, you know, the volume is there. That's what Derek's saying. It's there for the taking. Why are you so hesitant to put Thomas back into that level?
Well, full disclosure, after reading the show sheet beforehand, I actually did bump up Michael Thomas a little bit up in my rankings because, you know, not only because D-Bro is a smart guy, but, you know, Curtis Patrick from RotoViz brought up a good point on Twitter talking about looking for these middle range guys that can take that, you know, Cooper Kupp-esque leap back into, you know, top tier territory. And it's because Michael Thomas has already done it. Like, that's really important when mm-hmm. you're looking back at the receivers. He's already been the wide receiver one overall. He's already been a fantasy wide receiver one, and it goes back to health. But if he's healthy, we have a quarterback in Jameis Winston that has fueled top tier wide receivers in fantasy before. Now, it was in a different offense. I don't expect him to be as pass happy, but we've still seen it with Jameis Winston. Like, he can fuel, you know, a top tier fantasy wide receiver one season. So I'm definitely in on Michael Thomas, and I don't think that I don't need to be as aggressive as ranking him, you know, at 13 to still get exposure to him based on kind of where he's going in some of this best ball ADP. Like, you know, he is kind of in that 20s range where you can still get him, and I definitely want to be drafting him because I'm kind of even looking back at last year. It was like, I like Michael Thomas a lot last year. You know, I liked him with Winston. I thought Winston could unlock part of his deep game that people for some reason just think, oh, no, he just runs slants all the time. It's like, no, like, he can actually get open deep, dude. He can do a lot of things. He's a very good wide receiver, and it's just the fact that we haven't seen him. It's like, oh, I don't know. Like, I kind of want to put all these other guys ahead of him where it's like, well, Michael Thomas has been that guy before. So, yeah, I think that he's definitely someone that could take that leap back into the top tier status. So definitely want to be in on Michael Thomas as well.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about IP Vanish. Are you tired of feeling like someone's always watching you on the internet? Maybe advertisers know a bit too much about you, or you're concerned about the privacy of your identity? Using incognito mode won't solve the problem either. IP Vanish VPN is here to protect your right to privacy and help you stay anonymous online. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet without exposing your private details to third parties such as hackers, your ISP, or advertisers. You can use IP Vanish on your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use your IP Vanish, all your data is encrypted. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. Whether you're at home or in public, don't go anywhere without using IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is easy to use, and all you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you watch, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/pros and use the promotional code PROS to claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/pros. And now, back to the action.
All right, you're in on Chris Godwin. You've got him ranked at 16 overall, and Derek has him at 24. So that's a difference of 8. And Godwin coming off the ACL tear, obviously that's a bit of a concern. He's also missed some time with other injuries. Now, no one's denying the talent. Everybody knows Tom Brady is going to make Chris Godwin a fantasy star when he's on the field. But why so high on him early on here in these rankings, Erickson? At 16, that's pretty solid, whereas you would think maybe with the injury you'd want to have him a little lower and kind of wait and see how the progress goes in terms of time frame. But where are you at with Godwin right now in your head?
I mean, again, I'm kind of leaning on what Debro had said about Michael Thomas and his injury. You know, we haven't heard a lot about Chris Godwin's injury. So, you know, when you don't hear anything, you're usually assuming things are going well in his progression. It's not an Achilles injury, you know, which has been more of the thing that we want to kind of shy away from. ACLs, guys are coming off ACLs and being fine. Joe Burrow, he tore his ACL last year, and then he literally went to the Super Bowl. So I'm not too concerned. I think people are overly concerned about Chris Godwin. And when Chris Godwin was healthy last year, he was second in receptions before his injury, 92 catches, 8th in fantasy points per game, 21% target share through week 14, which was first on the Buccaneers. Like, Brady's back. And also there's question marks about Gronk. And there's no Antonio Brown. Like, they have, yes, Russell Gage is there. And I think that's interesting, too, to bring up Gage as, okay, you draft Godwin, and then you make sure you scoop up Gage later on in the draft. And then if Godwin is out, you know, was on the pup or whatever, you just play Russell Gage, who we saw last year take a significant leap forward as someone that you can rely on as a plug-and-play guy. You could potentially have Gage as kind of your fill-in for Chris Godwin until Godwin comes back. So I think Chris Godwin, I mean, if he's healthy, he's attached an offense to Tom Brady. They're going to throw the ball so much, especially without Bruce Arians in the offense at all. It's all Brady calling all the shots all the time. He's going to want to throw the ball a million times per game, never running the football. So I think Godwin is, you know, he's been a top five wide receiver multiple times. So I don't see why I would want to get away from him.
All right, Derek Brown, why are you taking the more cautious approach when it comes to Godwin?
I mean, at this point in the offseason, I mean, I know everything I said about Michael Thomas, but with Chris Godwin, we know it's an ACL. And so right now, with no news, I'm just taking more of a tepid approach. Like, I still have him ranked as a top 24 guy. But as of right now, considering when he sustained the injury, I mean, it was week 15. So can he start out? And I think that's why they signed Russell Gage as well. Yes, Antonio Brown leaving the offense, but Russell Gage, and Erickson talked about it. Like, I have Russell Gage as a higher end wide receiver 4 right now, and I could bump him at least a little bit higher because this was all an insurance package for Chris Godwin. Whether they start him out slow, he's a little bit slower out of the gate, coming off of the ACL, Russell Gage allows them to do that and baby Godwin a little bit at the beginning of the year, because we know Tampa Bay, those first like 3-4 games, 6 games of the year, yes, they want to win all these games, but really, what is Tampa Bay going for? It's a Super Bowl, man. They want Godwin healthy down the stretch and for the playoffs. So him coming a little bit slow out the gate, or Tampa Bay putting on the training wheels for the first few weeks, it's not out of the range of outcomes, at least not at this point of the offseason. So still got him as a top 24 guy, but I'm just pumping the brakes just a tad.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think I kind of land more towards the pumping of the brakes scenario and just wait and see a little bit. I don't like to start off my team with injuries. It's bad enough everybody gets hurt in the season that the start behind is always tenuous for me. Let's kick things up a notch here. Let's go to an 11 rank difference here on Carolina wide receiver DJ Moore. Derek Brown's got him at 15, Andrew Erickson at 26. So DJ Moore, regardless of the awful quarterback play, he's been very consistent, almost to a scary degree. Now, is it the consistency, Derek, that has you keeping DJ Moore in this pantheon of that 15 top kind of range? And why do you think he can repeat it again with even more uncertainty at that quarterback position for Carolina this year?
I mean, like I talked about earlier, he's in that same tier of Michael Thomas as just a volume hog. I mean, we saw this last year for DJ Moore whenever he got like semi-competent quarterback play. So weeks 1 through 7, the guy surpassed 73 receiving yards in 6 of 7 games. He was the wide receiver 8 in fantasy football. So I'm not saying that he's going to be a wide receiver one, but do I think that he could be a high end two if basically the quarterback position doesn't just totally fall off a cliff and they forget how to throw the ball like Cam Newton and PJ Walker did down the stretch? Outside of that, and yes, Sam Darnold is not great, and I'm assuming we get at least a small uptick, like a small uptick of the quarterback play of Cam Newton down the stretch is not asking a ton. I just think DJ Moore is going to, again, walk into a boatload of targets. Robbie Anderson looked like he was cooked last year. Terrace Marshall, although I do still have faith, I mean, really the jury's still out on him. Outside of that, Christian McCaffrey, who else is taking volume away from DJ Moore on a weekly basis? Nobody. The answer is nobody. The answer you search for is nobody. So yeah, I'm still in on DJ Moore as a top 20 option.
All right. Volume is king, Andrew Erickson. So if volume is king in fantasy football, why such a big difference between you guys on DJ Moore?
Because I don't want to overpay for bad volume. Like, why? Well, I can just draft Brandon Cooks. What's the difference? Like, yeah, DJ Moore is the better player, but Brandon
touchdowns.
Cooks is...
Hey, I answered the question.
DJ, how many touchdowns? Oh, so DJ Moore and his four touchdowns every single year that he scores?
No, I'm saying Brandon Cooks has four. That's what I'm saying. That's
okay. Well, I mean, I liked DJ Moore a lot last year, like Terry McLaurin last year, and I was, you know, pounding my chest for the guys that, you know, I was trying to buy all the wide receiver talent. I was like, no, like these guys are talented. They're going to overcome the quarterback situation. DJ Moore was on fire to start the year. The Panthers were 3-0, and then they lost all their games to end the season, and it was just a total nightmare. And I'm not about that clout this year. Like, I'm not drafting receivers with bad quarterbacks because I can get those guys, I can get those volume guys later in drafts. And I should be specific when I talk about this because it's overpaying for those guys. So, you know, you can see when we talk about some of the guys I'm lower on, it's the DJ Moores, it's the McLaurins, it's the Metcalfs, it's guys that we have big major question marks at quarterback. And it's like, you know what? I'd rather pay for a wide receiver two that's going to be in a good offense than pay for a wide receiver one that, yes, the volume projects super, super well. And you can see their path to targets being very, very clear, but it's the up and down inconsistencies what they get from bad quarterback play. And you can find guys like that just later on in drafts. Like last year, it was Brandon Cooks. Like I loved Cooks last year because he had the same type of upside based on a target share and just the same question marks at quarterback, but he was going in like the eighth or ninth round. Whereas like DJ Moore is like a fourth round pick again. And it's like, because he's good as a real life player, we all can recognize that, but ultimately, whether it's a rookie quarterback, whether it's Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, like I don't want to be attached to any of those quarterbacks. Like I just don't. Like, you don't have to draft DJ Moore. And like D-Bro said, like he's not projecting DJ Moore to be the wide receiver one. I want to find guys that can be the wide receiver one in that tier. I want to see guys that can take that next step. Whereas DJ Moore, his ceiling is always going to be capped because of the quarterback play. So that's why I'm a little bit lower on him.
And just so you know, Andrew Erickson is keeping things real here on the program because he is five spots lower on Terry McLaurin than D-Bro, four spots lower on DK Metcalf, five spots lower on Brandon Cooks, and then Tyler Lockett. I guess you could kind of put in that same conversation as well. Eight spots different, but eight, I mean, that's not so big. Let's go to another number bigger than eight. Let's try nine. How about Amari Cooper? Let's do this one. You've got him ranked at 18, Erickson. D-Bro's got him at 27. So that's a pretty big variance here. Now, I understand a lot of this has to do potentially with the looming suspension of Deshaun Watson. We'll see how that all goes. But Andrew Erickson, having him ranked at 18, there's a certain confidence you have. So what's baked into that number for you right now, considering the uncertainty of Watson's start to the season?
Well, it's complete opposite of my other argument, being lower on DJ Moore and guys like that, is because I'm worried about the quarterback play. You know, Amari Cooper now has Deshaun Watson as his quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you talked about a looming suspension. I'm starting to lean more into the fact that I don't think he's going to get suspended this year. You know, we've seen suspensions like this take much longer and get pushed back years, like with Tom Brady. Like he did not get suspended at all the first year. And it was the next year that he ended up taking a 4-game suspension for Deflategate. Like this stuff gets pushed back all the time. And obviously this is me trying to analyze the situation from a legal perspective, but you know, it's something to, you know, get early on, like make
and
your decision
Andrew
now.
Did not go to law school. I just want to point that out for everybody, just so we're clear. He is not a lawyer. He doesn't play one on TV. He is merely speculating there. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think that it's during the offseason, you want to, you know, kind of make a stance. Be like, you know what? I don't think that he's going to get suspended. So I want to get in on Cooper now. I want to be higher on Amari Cooper now because, you know, why have they not signed Will Fuller yet? You know, that was something that was kind of in the ether, is like, maybe they don't draft a wide receiver. Okay, now Amari Cooper, like, when it's all said and done, the dust settles after free agency, after the draft. Oh, wow, Amari Cooper is the wide receiver one attached to Deshaun Watson. How is he not a top 20 wide receiver? You look at the guys that Deshaun Watson has been with, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller was wide receiver 8 per game in 2020. Brandon Cooks was wide receiver 16 in 2020. It's like, and Brandon Cooks wasn't even the wide receiver one that year. So I get that Cooper's, you know, history and track record of he's never really been a wide receiver one. Well, he's never had Deshaun Watson as a quarterback. Like, Deshaun Watson's the best quarterback he's ever had. Like, he's better than Dak from a fantasy perspective. And there's less target competition. Who's the number two wide receiver on the Browns? Is David Njoku? Like, because that's what it kind of looks like. They don't have Austin Hooper anymore. They have Peoples Jones, Anthony Schwartz, like these kind of one-dimensional speedster guys. And then it's Cooper. Like, Cooper could see crest, you know, 25% target share for the first time in his career. And that's well worth, you know, being a top 20 wide receiver. So yeah, I get that the bigger concern is probably like his splits. You know, I know that he's not great outdoors, and Cleveland has a track record of being like a pretty terrible place to play. And you're going to get some of these Amari Cooper games where he just does totally dud out, but he's going to have massive games with Deshaun Watson. And you're gonna be like, boom, like you're going to see a couple 40 point games from Amari Cooper when he does blow up with Deshaun Watson and some of the shootouts that they play in.
All right, so Derek, is Amari Cooper ranking for you really just kind of tied into the uncertainty? Because that's a pretty easy out there for you to take.
I mean, that's exactly why I have him ranked where I have him ranked. Like, I mean, I think talent and everything that Andrew laid out is why I still have him as a top 30 wide receiver. Like, I got him at the top end of wide receiver 3. Now, if I knew that Deshaun Watson wasn't going to miss any games, if I knew that he wasn't going to get suspended,
right, that's my next question. What happens if you know there's clarity? Yeah.
If I knew all of that, then yes, he would automatically vault to the top end of that entire tier that I keep talking about of wide receivers that are going to see volume, like Terry McLaurin, Jalen Waddle, like the top end of, he'd be a top 20 wide receiver. I'd be right where Erickson is if I knew that Watson was going to play, but I don't. And we're all speculating. So that's what's baked into this ranking for me, because none of us know. None of us can say with certainty Watson is or is not going to play. And if Watson is not playing for at least, say, 2-3 games, 4, somewhere in that range, it's going to bump down Amari Cooper, because I'm sorry, like, I'm not buying into Jacoby Brissett, and all they're going to do is run the damn ball. So that's why, at least at this point in the offseason, and I don't know that I'm going to put Amari Cooper, like, he's still a top 30 option, like I've talked about. And for all the reasons of talent and the target competition or non-competition, besides David Njoku, that's all baked into where I have Cooper, at least at this point.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. My friends, there is no better place to go than Pristine Auction when you're looking for the coolest sports memorabilia that you're going to find anywhere. Everything there is authentic and backed by that certification of authenticity. And not everything there is super crazy expensive. I know some of you are on a budget, but that doesn't mean you can't have some fun and bid on some cool stuff. And when you use that promo code FANTASYPROS, you can start today and get $5 credits on us. That's right. $5, just start bidding with that promo code FANTASYPROS when you sign up at pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. It's quick and free to register. They've got amazing stuff on there. We're talking helmets, jerseys. We're even talking about baseball stuff, basketball stuff, college football, you name it. They've got it over there. And it's not just sports memorabilia too. They've got cool wrestling things. They've got art. They've got so many things that'll make your head spin, but you can't get involved and you can't get the cool stuff in your house unless you start bidding today. And when you do, make sure you use that promo code FANTASYPROS at Pristine Auction. That's pristineauction.com. And now back to the action.
All right, let's go to some salty ones here. Let's start at your 32nd ranked wide receiver. I know it's like, well, we're jumping all the way to 32. It's going to be worth it, folks. We're going to live in the 30s a little bit, because there is a disparity here that's just off the charts. Of a couple guys. First is Kadarius Toney of the New York Giants. Now, you've got him at 32. Andrew Erickson has him at 46, a 14 rank difference. So I understand Kadarius Toney was hurt a lot last year. I understand the offense was a mess. I get all of that. You still seem from this ranking, at least, to think, okay, this is a guy that's got some relevance here. We're talking a wide receiver 3-ish kind of upside. Who knows, some game breaking ability. We kind of flashed a little bit last year. We saw. So talk to me about Kadarius Toney. Why you think he could still be relevant in 2022?
Because when he was on the field, he was hyper efficient. You're looking at a guy that crested almost 2 yards per route run. His targets per route rate were amongst the best in the league. And I understand it's a small sample, but what is going to stop him regarding health? What is going to stop him from running all of that back in what we think is going to be an improved scheme? He's fighting for targets with who? Kenny Galladay? Okay, good luck. Darius Slayton? These other like tight ends and who knows what and what Saquon Barkley? Like, Kadarius Toney could easily explode, and we're talking about guys that have massive upside for this year. On that depth chart right now, what is to stop Kadarius Toney from getting close to a 30% target share, from being the guy and taking this massive sophomore leap? I mean, last year in small sample, when he was healthy, we saw the efficiency. Okay, now we get health and we get more games played. We get a better offensive scheme. And Daniel Jones, like, I know he's not great, but is he going to play worse in a better offensive scheme? I mean, we're going from Jason Garrett to Brian Daboll. Come on, like, I think that the ceiling is definitively there for Kadarius Toney for this year, and that's something I want to be above consensus for walking into the season.
All right, so you're above consensus. You're buying in. Andrew Erickson doesn't look like you're buying in, so why are you selling Kadarius Toney's value this year? Because 14 is a pretty big variance, all the way at 46. He's more of a bench wide receiver in your mind.
I mean, goes back to what Debro had mentioned. It's a small sample size, and I know he had a super high target rate per route run last year in a different offense. You know, are we going to see that from Brian Daboll in his offense? Are we going to see them hyper-target one receiver on the field? I don't know. You know, there's question marks about that, and I'm hesitant to buy on offenses that I don't think are going to be that good. Like, and I've usually been in the past, I've been higher on Daniel Jones than a lot of people because I think that he has, you know, a lot of elements to his game that, no, not to say he's a poor man's Josh Allen, but, you know, you see a pass where he's had upside in fantasy as a quarterback because he rushes and because he can throw the ball deep. But I don't know. I just don't like investing like super heavily into guys on bad teams. Like, I tweeted out like last week, and I think people were like trolling me because I was like, just draft guys on good teams. And then people were like, oh, well, but James Robinson, he's really good. Like, and it's, again, there's obviously always exceptions to the rule, but more often than not, right, you look at the top performers, they're all on good teams. So just give me wide receiver twos on these high prolific offenses that I know are going to be productive, and I don't have to guess. Like, yeah, could Kadarius Toney be the guy? Sure. Definitely could see it happening. He obviously flashed last year, so this isn't me saying there's no way he can do it. I think Debro laid out a really good case for Kadarius Toney, but it could also be Kenny Galladay. Like, why can't Kenny Galladay has caught double-digit touchdowns. Like, why couldn't it be him? You know, there are other guys in that offense. Sterling Shepard, when he's been healthy, he's been a target machine as well. So I just still think there are question marks. And yeah, could Daniel Jones fixate to Kadarius Toney? Yeah, I think that he could. But, you know, I'm just not always necessarily willing to pay the cost of a top 36 wide receiver for it.
All right, let's jump another notch here. Let's kick it up to a 21 rank difference. 21. How about 21 on a guy who was drafted as a low-end wide receiver one just last year? How about that kind of variance? Talking about Allen Robinson, number 21 on Andrew Erickson's list, number 42 on Derek Brown. So Andrew Erickson, I know last year was disappointing, to put it mildly, for those people who drafted Allen Robinson. Now you're taking him out of Chicago. You're putting him on the Rams. So is it just like, hey, I saw what that did for Odell Beckham, I think he could do the same thing for Allen Robinson? Or should we be a little bit more concerned because of the age and miles on Allen Robinson, and maybe some of the things were his fault and can't blame it all on Matt Nagy and the offense?
I know. I think you can. I think you can blame a lot of it on Matt Nagy and the offense last year. I mean, Allen Robinson, it seemed like he had just kind of checked out. You know, he was like, I'm not getting the ball. Like, this isn't working for me. He was dealing with injuries last year, even when he was on the field. So look, you're inserting him to a high prolific offense. You know, the Rams are going to be, I say it at worst, a top 10 offense next year. I don't think that's a hot take. I think the Rams are going to be good with Matthew Stafford back, Sean McVay back, hopefully. So you look at last year with Robert Woods, who's now in the Tennessee Titans. You know, he was wide receiver 17 and a half point PPR before his injury. Okay, boom, you already have a top 20 wide receiver. And that was with Cooper Kupp, you know, doing unbelievable things, which I think most of us think that there's going to be some type of regression for Cooper Kupp, because it's just impossible for someone to have the best wide receiver season of all time again. Like, it's just going to be really hard for him to sustain that type of production. So who's that going to benefit? Probably the wide receiver two on the Rams, which is Allen Robinson. Odell Beckham Jr., he's not on the Rams back either. And even if he is re-signed by the Rams, he's not going to be ready for till October, like, considering he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl in February. So you have a a path where Allen Robinson can step in and be a wide receiver too on the Los Angeles Rams, a good offense where he could definitely flirt with double digit touchdowns, which is what he's done already. He in his resume, he has a 14 touchdown season. He has seasons with 150 targets in two seasons. So I see all the path, the upside with Allen Robinson here. And that's what Matthew Stafford showed us last year. He's a quarterback that unlocks potential. Kenny Golladay with Matthew Stafford. Oh, he was a top five fantasy wide receiver. Cooper Kupp, obviously wide receiver one. Robert Woods, a top 20 wide receiver. Odell Beckham Jr. down the stretch. 90% target share, 12.4 fantasy points per game through from week 12 through the divisional round. That was a fantasy wide receiver two production. So I think wide receiver 24 is like exactly where Allen Robinson should be in terms of consensus. I have him a little bit higher than that at wide receiver. I think I'm 18 or something, or 21. At 21. So yeah. I think that he's a strong back end wide receiver too. And wide receiver 42, D-Bro, is blasphemy in my opinion.
Well, now Derek, your ranking reeks to me of AJ Green, of Julio Jones, of okay, older wide receiver who's been very productive. I mean, nobody's Julio, but I'm just kind of, you know, just making the same kind of statement of a guy that we've felt really good about fantasy, getting up there in age a little bit, going to their team, all of us thinking, oh, fresh start. You know, we're going to go right back to being the old version of this guy, and it doesn't happen. Is that what's baked into this ranking here?
That's part of what's baked into this ranking. And Allen Robinson, I mean, for all of the things we could talk about, like, okay, well, Chicago and Matt Nagy and stuff, Darnell Mooney says, what about me? Darnell Mooney produced in the same exact offense mm-hmm. that Allen Robinson did. Like, he actually stepped forward, and considering if Allen Robinson was a 25, 26-year-old wide receiver, I wouldn't even be saying half of this stuff. But he's not.
Right.
So we can't totally just dismiss, like, his efficiency metrics last year just fell off a damn cliff. And we can't totally outhandedly just say, okay, like, that's all because he was tired of the situation. But the other thing about it, it's like, I know Allen Robinson still got paid and he still got a good contract. But, like, do we really think that, like, okay, he just said, like, okay, I'm probably going to be a free agent this upcoming offseason. I'm just going to take my value and just not care. I'm going to not care. Like, because that'll look really entertaining to another team that's going to sign me. And I know he's still got the good contract, but there's a flip side to this coin. Like, Allen Robinson could be on the back end of his career. That fall off that we saw could also absolutely be the fact of he hit the age cliff. And for all the things that Odell Beckham did last year, it still was the Cooper Kupp show. And he still didn't get this massive target share. He relied a lot on touchdowns last year. And for Robert Woods, we also saw him start the year as the wide receiver 46, 44, 65, 27. Now, he had a massive game and some touchdown production down the stretch. Like, the 14 target game that he had against Seattle obviously is a massive outlier compared to the rest of his line for the rest of the season.
And so they were picking on the corner there in that game. That was
yeah, they were. Too. Well, and there was also narratives walking into that week where Robert Woods was also in the press saying, like, I need some targets. McVay, we talk about coaches and not following narratives or not, like, basically following up coach speak. McVay that week was talking, like, earlier in the year, he talked about, okay, we're going to get DeSean Jackson involved. And you saw a big game from DeSean Jackson. That week walking into that game, he was like, we're going to get Robert Woods involved. And they fed him the damn ball the entire game. Now, Allen Robinson, there's a lot of question marks. And we've talked about this and taking, like, leaps on efficiency and stuff like that. I'm just taking the opposite side of the coin and saying there is a range of outcomes where Allen Robinson is cooked. Mm-hmm. Just because the Rams gave him the money, I'm not willing to sit here and say that considering what we saw. I'm pumping the brakes and we're taking different stances. Like, I'm saying, like, there is a range of outcomes where he's done. He's not the Allen Robinson we saw considering age and all these different things. And it's still going to be the Cooper Kupp show in 2022.
All right, that is fair. This is a fascinating one. I'm glad we really spent some time here on Allen Robinson, because I think this is going to be a very divisive one for the next 3 months going through draft season, and there are people going to buy in, and everything is going to be rosy and fresh, and other people are going to be really hesitant. I'm kind of in the middle, I got to tell you the truth. And the reason I'm in the middle is because to me, it's all about the value you get him. If I can get Allen Robinson as my third wide receiver, I'm okay with it, because I feel like the range of outcomes then I'm willing to take that both of the guys just presented. But for me, if I have to pay for him as a wide receiver too, I don't want range of outcomes. I want productivity at wide receiver too. I want steady. I want a guy that can believe in, trust, who's age right, who is in a good quarterback situation, good offense, all of that stuff. Let's get to another one of these guys. How about this next one? Plus 23. That's the difference in rank between Andrew Erickson and Derrick Brown on the next guy, Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen is ranked number 33, probably appropriately so, I would imagine, here on the wide receiver ranks for Derrick Brown. Andrew Erickson is out clearly on Adam Thielen this year at 56. Now, I get it. I understand where Erickson's coming from, but D-Bro, first, defend the honor of Adam Thielen, who, you know, I think a lot of people thought maybe last year he'd fall off a cliff, didn't quite fall off a cliff. Yeah, he's another year older. Yeah, a lot of mileage. Yeah, the injuries certainly are looming potentially, but Adam Thielen as wide receiver, 33, talk us through it.
I mean, when he was on the field last year, Joe, we saw he was the wide receiver 14 in fantasy points per game. So I'm baking in some of the age here. I'm not saying that he's going to be a top 24 wide receiver. I'm not saying that at all, but for all the years that we talk about Thielen, yes, a lot of his efficiency metrics dropped off. The guy keeps freaking scoring touchdowns. And there are certain players, like when we get to certain points of their career, okay, like we kept waiting for Russell Wilson's efficiency to drop off. He was just playing out of his mind for multiple years. We're like, okay, well, the volume's not there. For a lot of players, yes, like touchdowns are not a sticky stat, but we see Thielen get looks in the red zone, and some of that goes with the quarterback rapport. And so as much as I love Justin Jefferson, and I do love Jefferson, Adam Thielen is still going to have a role in the red zone. He was still uber productive last year, regardless of the age. So he's a year older. I mean, this is not a guy that we're talking about that's going from 27 to 28. I understand like the age, and yes, it's another year on top of this, but I think that this is also an offense we could see maybe throw a little bit more than in previous seasons. If the touchdown production is still there, I'm baking in that he takes a step back. I'm just not baking in apparently what Erickson is doing. I'm not baking in that he's apparently just going to dig his own grave and fall into it for this year.
All right. Obviously, Andrew Erickson, you see this a little bit differently, and that's fair. He finished as wide receiver 22 last year. He played in just 13 games. So why do you think that the end is nigh for Adam Thielen? Because that's what your rankings are telling us.
Because he's showing all the signs of a receiver that is one that you don't want to chase the unsustainable production. He's 24 touchdowns in the last two seasons. So he's also had more touchdowns than Justin Jefferson in the last two seasons. Is that going to continue to happen? I don't want to bet on that. Like, I think Jefferson's going to be, Jefferson is my wide receiver one. So I think Jefferson's going to be the guy that catches 14 touchdowns next year. And that's going to come at the cost of Adam Thielen, who I don't think is going to catch double-digit touchdowns. Coming off a year where he had the lowest yards per route run, 1.63, since his second year in the league in 2015. Allen Robinson, I know you talked about him being older. Allen Robinson's 29. Adam Thielen is 32. Like, that's a significant difference in my book, even if, as a guy for Thielen who started out his career a little bit later on.
Right.
And when you just look at the track record of guys the last two seasons over age of 30, only three players have finished as a top 40 wide receiver. It's been Thielen, Cole Beasley, and Marvin Jones. The last two seasons have been the only guys that have finished as top 40 receivers over the age of 30. So yeah, Thielen's done it the last two seasons. Is he going to finish probably in the 50s? Like, probably not. But I want guys that are going to leap. I don't want guys that are, I'm trying to like hold on to hope that, oh, I have Thielen, I think that he's going to return value where I draft him. I don't care about returning value. I want a guy that can smash his ADP. Thielen's not that guy. Like, okay, great. He finishes as, you know, wide receiver 24, and I got him at wide receiver 40. That doesn't move the needle for me. Like, I'm looking for guys in that range that can be top 15 guys. And I don't think that Thielen has that in his range of outcomes anymore. I know that obviously the touchdowns have been there for him, but we know that chasing touchdown production is usually not a smart strategy. And could I look dumb? Could he catch another double-digit touchdown? Especially week one, of course, he's going to catch three touchdowns. Like, I know that's going to happen, but
sure Derrick Brown will make it a point to be on show.
But when that happens, D-Bro's a smart guy. D-Bro's going to come on this pod and be like, sell high on Thielen.
You're right.
And that's what we're going to be talking about. Thielen all year long. Sell high. So don't draft him in the first place, because when you draft players with the idea like, oh, I'm going to try to flip him, sometimes it doesn't work out. So for me, I can already foresee the season of Thielen happening. He's going to deal with some injuries. I mean, what's to say he's not going to have the Julio Jones season from last year, where we were taking him in the fourth, fifth round. We were like, he's still super efficient, and it just collapsed. So,
All right. I got to tell you, Andrew, one of the reasons I'm so high on KJ Osborne this year is because I felt like when he got the targets, whenever Thielen wasn't around, he produced and he is way later in ADP. And I am all about KJ Osborne just kind of taking him as a bench wide receiver because I think he could step into that Thielen role, that secondary role, if indeed this drop off happens or any significant period of time. So KJ Osborne's a guy that should be you should be very aware of in your drafts coming up. Let's switch gears from the wide receivers to the tight ends. So let's start with the tight end one. Andrew Erickson has him ranked as a tight end one at 9. Derrick Brown does not. He's got him at 14. Dawson Knox. Andrew, talk to me about Dawson Knox, what you saw last year, what you think can carry over this year to make him a tight end one again.
Well, Dawson Knox has at least in the offense last year with the Bills, he had a tight end one role. So he was basically playing every down on the field, which not a lot of teams do. You know, only the top tier tight ends kind of have that role where you're basically playing on every snap. You're running around on 80%, 90% of the dropbacks. Dawson Knox had that role last year. And yes, a lot of his production was tied to touchdowns. And yes, is he going to experience some touchdown regression? Most likely. But I also know that he plays an offense that is going to score a lot of touchdowns, like with Josh Allen. And I'm willing to bet on him in that area. Now, I don't like necessarily drafting a lot of guys in this range. You know, it's kind of where you need to look at the discrepancy between ranking and ADP of a player. If Dawson Knox is going as the ADP tight end 9, like I'm probably not going to draft him. I just don't traditionally draft guys in the middle range because I know that the range of outcomes from Knox versus guys you can get at tight end 12, 13, 14, 15 probably isn't that large. But if I'm placing my chips on one of these guys, like we've seen it with Knox, like we've seen the upside with him attached to a Josh Allen offense. And I really don't think the OJ Howard thing really matters at all. Like in my opinion, look, I think Howard's a backup. They use one tight end. And I think that they maybe will try to like sprinkle out OJ Howard in the slot a little bit. And then they're going to realize, wow, like this guy's not as good as we thought he was. Like just like they figured out in Tampa Bay, and they're just like, well, we're going to go back to Dawson Knox being the every down tight end. Now, could things change? Maybe in the preseason we see usage and it's like, oh, they're splitting the tight ends. Like, okay, like that would open my eyes and want me to change my perspective on Dawson Knox. But I think that he has a clear, you know, tight end one upside in a high powered offense because that's what you want. You want athletic tight ends and high powered offenses attached to good quarterbacks. And Dawson Knox checks off all those boxes.
All right, so let's move over to a guy that Derrick Brown thinks can crack that tight end one conversation. Andrew Erickson, not so much. At 13, Derrick Brown has Irv Smith of the Minnesota Vikings coming back from his injury last year. Erickson still got him at 22. He's in the wait and show me kind of stage of things. So talk to me about Irv Smith, why you think he can be another part of this Vikings offense that might be fantasy relevant.
Well, I guess the other side of this coin is, Erickson, if you're so low on Thielen, then why are you not higher on Irv Smith?
Like, oh, no, you didn't.
Touchdown's got to go somewhere, man. And like Irv Smith, whenever we've seen him playing the full time role without Kyle Rudolph, he's been efficient. So as well as garnering red zone work. And so with Irv Smith, I think that all we need is health. And yes, if Adam Thielen takes a step back, and I know maybe I'm talking myself out of Adam Thielen. Maybe I need to go adjust my Adam Thielen ranking a little bit in the sense of bumping him down some more because Irv Smith, I think somebody's got to catch touchdowns. They're going to throw the ball enough. If the passing rate surprises at all, I'm willing to buy in on a young player that we just haven't seen play a full season in the full-time role because, look, when he has been out there on the field, he has been pretty damn efficient as a guy that going back to 2020, he was eighth in yards per target. He also garnered a good red zone role. He was second in fantasy points per target. Now, I know a lot of those are really, really high efficiency numbers, small sample size, but even if we bump that down and we water that down a little bit, that still equals him being on the fringe of tight end one conversation, considering all these different parts.
Yeah, I mean, right, we could agree. If you move Thielen down, I'll move Irv Smith up a little bit. No, I mean, I could definitely move
Irv
Smith up.
Like a treaty? Deal. It's like a Thielen. Deal. Oh, my God. I'll draft the papers up. Oh, my goodness. What the hell just happened to my show here? I was like, all right, if you move him 3 spots, and I shall move him 4, and we shall go out to Denny's and have a Grand Slam breakfast together. Deal.
That very sounds good, great,
extra
actually.
Extra bacon honestly. For everyone.
That sounds really good, actually. Yeah, let's sign up for that.
Let's go. I'm the king. I've always got the crown available at all times on the podcast. All right. I want to move on to some more tight ends here because I know we're running low on time. Pat Freiermuth, you've got a 12. Andrew Erickson, a 6 spot difference here between you and Derrick Brown, who's got him at 18. So even with Trubisky, you still think he can hang as a tight end one, it seems.
Yeah, I think that Pat Freiermuth showed us last year just the talent. I mean, obviously the hyped up rookie was Kyle Pitts, but you know, don't overlook what Freiermuth did last year. You know, he was the first rookie tight end selected in the second round to finish as a top 18 option since 2013. So what he did was like really special last year. And yes, again, similar to Knox, like a lot of the production was touchdown production. But I mean, if you go search anywhere, you know, everybody thinks that Mitchell Trubisky is just a significant upgrade over Ben Roethlisberger. I'm pretty lukewarm on that stance. Like, I can see the argument either way, but I'm not. It's
well,
really
even
priced.
if he's lateral, Andrew, right?
I mean,
if he's lateral,
he's
a tight end one.
Yeah, I think, and that's the thing is, like, Trubisky, we don't know who he's going to latch onto. Like, it could be Deontay Johnson, it could be Claypool, it could be Freiermuth. But the thing with Freiermuth is I know that he's a good tight end, he's athletic, and he was productive as a rookie, which is almost never the case with a lot of tight ends. So he's a player that, you know, he was top 12 tight end last year, or I think he finished as tight end 13 because of the seven receiving touchdowns. So, I mean, look, when we get into this range of the back end, like I talked about before, I don't like drafting in the middle. So, you know, basically tight end 12 to tight end 20 is kind of like my sweet spot of late round tight ends, where I really think it's smart to not necessarily be overly bullish on one particular guy and kind of look at them all in a tier and be like, all right, like who's going the latest? And I don't know exactly where Freiermuth's ADP is, but if his ADP is more closer to where Debro has him ranked, you know, in the 18 or 19 range, like I would love taking shots on him there because I've already seen the upside from him. He's been used as a red zone threat. I don't think that's going to go away. I don't think that role is going to go away in the offense. And we don't know, you know, who Trubisky will latch onto as his favorite go-to target in the Steelers offense. And when there's ambiguity, I like to go for the guys that are the cheaper options. So, you know, that's why I'm an advocate, you know, even in my rankings, like I like Claypool a lot more than I like Deontay, because I think that Claypool's price is not as expensive, obviously, as Deontay, but it's also factoring the ambiguity around which receiver Trubisky will kind of gravitate towards more in the offense. Now, it was always Deontay with Ben Roethlisberger, but like he's not the quarterback anymore. Like, and we've seen Roethlisberger all his years as a quarterback, like always like target the number one receiver heavily. And Trubisky maybe not is going to be the same thing. Or even if they draft a rookie quarterback, we don't know. Like, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers seem like they're in the market. I know we're doing some draft talk here, but it seems like I'm pretty sold on the Steelers taking quarterback at some point in the draft. So a rookie quarterback also kind of is another fold into the equation that you have to consider with all these Steelers pass catchers.
Real quick, what's your take on Freiermuth this year? Why do you have him ranked outside of the tight end one grouping, Derek?
Because I don't believe in Trubisky. As much as we talk about, like, is he a step up above Ben Roethlisberger? Yes, but that's not saying much. And I think that with the Steelers, as bad as Roethlisberger was last year, we still saw they deferred to him and they threw the ball a ton. I think we could see the Steelers roll back the clock a little bit and go back to the early years of Ben Roethlisberger, where this team was reliant upon the run game. I think their pass rates and neutral script could fall down. And Pat Freiermuth, the other thing we need to talk about here is that, like, Chase Claypool didn't go anywhere. Deontay Johnson didn't go anywhere. Freiermuth was in the top 10 in red zone targets last year, and he was number one amongst all tight ends in red zone usage. That is really steep production, or at least usage, to expect to repeat. Like, can Claypool get more? Like, we're talking about Trubisky. We don't know who he's going to want to target. And if he's not like Big Ben, and he's not like every time they get inside the 20, he's like, okay, where's Freiermuth at? And he falls back into not 20 red zone targets, but say 10, 12. Maybe this offense sucks. They're even in the red zone less. Or they decide we're going to use Chase Claypool in the red zone. I just see Freiermuth in a lot of ways. Last year could have been, I'm not going to say a perfect storm, but in terms of usage and touchdown production, we could have seen where he could take a step back in 2022.
If you want more dissenting opinions and this was just not enough for you, head over to fantasypros.com/compare. You could take your favorite experts in this tool and compare them and get a sense of maybe where you think some of the players' values might be. But you can only do that at fantasypros.com/compare. And also, don't forget, we've got more NFL drafts coming up. We've got our live draft coverage coming up very soon. Make sure you subscribe to youtube.com/fantasypros, our channel. Click that little bell for notifications. And of course, when you do, you can enter our fantasypros.com/contest. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction, and get yourself an autographed Lamar Jackson jersey. It's just that easy, folks.
I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Pristine Auction. Head over to pristineauction.com today. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And don't forget, use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get $5 credit on us and start your bidding on the coolest sports memorabilia you ever seen. And go to ipvanish.com/pros and use our promotional code PROS to claim your 70% off savings. That's ipvanish.com/pros because your internet privacy should be private. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Derek Brown and Aruba Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.